It's a fairly interesting piece in the Washington Post today, which took a look at what pretty much makes logical sense, but it was interesting to see it statistically laid out, that a lot more fraudulent attacks are moving from the higher profile sites where they would have initially been, since that's where the money is, as Mr. Sutton would have said, and they are now moving to many, many smaller sites. Now, on the one hand, that makes perfect sense, because you would think that the smaller sites would have less sophisticated security mechanisms, and it's probably easier to swipe card data from those sites than it would be today from Amazon. Is there more to that trend, Aviva, than simply that?
Yes, I think it goes well beyond just online sites. I think in general, the smaller retailers, whether they're operating e-commerce sites or physical stores, don't have the resources to think about security. And one of the bigger vulnerabilities that have shown up in the last 6 months is their point-of-sale cash register software that they're buying from certain manufacturers have vulnerabilities that the criminals have found. They can log into these systems using programs like PC Anywhere, and lo and behold, they can get all the credit card and debit card data, and sometimes there's even magstripe data being stored, and a small retailer doesn't have the time or the resources or the inclination to know about all this. I heard a story about a little Indian restaurant in L.A., in southern L.A., and one day the restaurant owner came to work. He owned the restaurant. He had two employees. That was it. And he came in, and there were like seven federal officials there, FBI agents and police, Secret Service, because there was a big hack into the terminal software that he was using. It was hacked into the controller, but you know, this poor guy had no clue what was going on. So the crooks have figured this out. I was told by a forensic analyst that there's some thieves in Vietnam that have figured out which point-of-sale cash registers are vulnerable. They go to the manufacturer's website, find out who the big customers are. They may even find some small customers, and then they go attack those terminals. So I think that the smaller retailers are particularly prone, not only in the e-commerce world, but in the regular store world. And, you know, frankly, they never ask for any of this. They just want to run their business.
There's real. We've studied the small retailer many times, and just for this reason, a lot of them don't want to have their systems online by any stretch of the imagination. They're so fearful that somebody's going to hack into those systems. I've sat down with presentations with Secret Service in the past with Visa, and they said the largest problem is actually occurring not so much from Vietnam, although that is a role. It's coming from the Ukraine. There's not an extradition treaty with the Ukraine, and many of these hackers route through the Ukraine to hack many of these sites. The most notable one to date has been OfficeMax. That we all heard about back in March that came out. Damages for that have already reached $100 million in terms of losses and things with new cards and fraud and write-offs, et cetera, there. So this is a huge problem with point of sale, and that really turned into the clarion wake-up call for the larger retailers to deal with it. But you're absolutely right. The smaller retailer really has no idea that this is a big problem that's out there, and getting hacked from their point of sale is a big risk to them. Some do, and they choose not to have their systems online. Others do not. They just know they got a PC, it's got a modem, or it's hooked up to a standard DSL connection because they want to get email, and they're vulnerable.
And they may not even know how vulnerable they are. So, for example, they may not have an e-commerce site, but they may use a terminal program that the vendor maintains through an Internet protocol. So, like PC Anywhere is a good example. So they may not even have e-commerce, but they still can be accessed through the Internet. So they really kind of get it from all sides. You know, and it's also taken a toll on consumer confidence. I just did a survey of 5,000 online adults, And we asked them, how's all these reports and breaches affecting you? And one of the biggest impacts was in online shopping. And the way it was impacting them is that they're not going to lesser-known sites. So consumers like to go to well-known brands. They think they could trust it better. The other point that was covered by the Washington Post reporter is that many of these small sites go out and get one of these trust seals that says their site's been scanned for security vulnerabilities. And even after they pass those scans, they're hacked into. So they try what they can do. You know, there's a whole industry out there, these assessors that are assessing PCI compliance, that are selling scanning services and audit services for as low as $15,000 a year, sometimes even lower. But the crooks still find their way in.
Yeah,
so,
I have a story to tell of a mid-sized retailer who spent 6 months and a lot of money verifying that his site couldn't be hacked, and 3 weeks later he was very publicly hacked.
Yeah, so what do we do about that? Is there any liability for the scanning vendors that said your site's okay?
No, he was dumbstruck. I mean, he's a really old friend of mine. And I saw the article, and it was all his private label credit cards that they took. He said, I don't know what else to do. I hired these guys. I had them come in. You know, they assured me I was hack-proof. And like,
and then, and then on top of it, you know, the credit card companies are going to fine them.
Right.
So it's, you know, in my opinion, you really need almost another payment system that keeps the retailers out of having to even process this data. But, of course, that's like pie-in-the-sky kind of stuff. But
Do you think that biometrics done right could do that, where you're not passing this information back and forth across the line, or even on RFID, any kind of contactless system that just references something that's back in an office somewhere?
I think so. You know, the technology solutions are definitely there. It's where, you know, who's going to pay for all these upgrades. But certainly the way to solve this problem is keeping the data out of the merchant hands, and just giving them some kind of identifier that links into that payment information, and then making it such that if the identifier is stolen, then that can't be reused. So kind of like a one-time identifier.
But they're designed that way today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the way the system is supposed to work today. It's just bad software.
Right.
It's bad software development is what it is. Adding biometrics really doesn't help the situation at all. I mean, basically what happens here is that authorization code goes out with that number, and all you're supposed to store is that authorization number that comes back. So the credit card number is supposed to be purged at the point you get the authorization number from Visa, because that's what you get paid from, is that authorization number. And the crook can't do anything with that. So it's just bad software. What people do is they save it today so that if somebody comes back and they want to do a return and they, you know, want to put it back on the same credit card and all this other kind of stuff, that's the reason they save it. And it's really not the number itself. It's the Track 2 data, which has that, you know, the extra 3 or 4 digit number that you have to enter in. That is the part that is the most dangerous, and that's getting stored. And if you have that and the number, you can recreate a card.
Yeah.
And,
well, there are a couple different issues. I think you brought up the business issue of refunds and recurring billing is why they're storing it. But there's also an authentication issue, you know, for chargeback purposes. And if you can somehow sign a transaction without having to dig up some receipt somewhere, the merchants would be better off.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant. It would seem to me you send a license. You know, you still have to at some point go out for authorization. But reducing the number of points that you go out to authorize through, by just through one central location, seems to make things simpler. Not having the credit card information actually show up in the store at all, if you will.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Mm.
And without giving away the secrets to the audience that the folks at Visa and American Express don't want people to know, the fraud rate of somebody actually using a card fraudulently is quite low. Where it hits is when people get hacked and get massive amounts of numbers together that are resold, that are used in online transactions, are used in gambling, are used in a number of other things. That's where the big money is. The somebody stealing a credit card or stealing a credit card number, walking into a retailer and using that fraudulently is a very, very low occurrence in terms of total transactions. As such, the payback for the technology to secure it from a biometric and other standpoint just really isn't there, particularly for these smaller retailers who don't have that many transactions.
So what happened with the $100 million that was rung up in the case of OfficeMax? Who's paying back who?
That's an excellent question that I'm not willing to go into publicly. I'll be happy to talk offline. There's the people that were involved, who's yelling at who, the vendors that were involved. They were able to identify the culprit being a Traceroute utility that is routinely sold with a point of sale to be able to run credit transactions and test that they work, but that was still active, and that's what was hacked in. So it becomes a he said, she said on whose responsibility it is, and it's in the courts.
But that kind of goes to these small retailers that don't know what kind of software they're even running. You know, they're storing the same kind of data, and are they supposed to be held liable? It's so what do you think the solution is?
The solution is better software, and that's why Visa and American Express and MasterCard have been, for the last 4 to 5 years, going out and trying to hit all of these software manufacturers. I was personally involved in getting the top 25 POS software providers by volume together for a conference to say, hey, here are the KISS guidelines. You guys need to get your software in line, and we got them all in a room there. But the problem is there aren't just 25 software providers, particularly for the small guy. There's somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 different vendors out there that offer point-of-sale software.
So why weren't those software standards made part of the new PCI standard, and why aren't there penalties being imposed if they're not compliant? I mean, why is all that kind of voluntary now?
Well, you'd have to ask Visa about the penalties aspect of it, in terms of the enforcement. But in terms of the requirements, those are very public, and they're out there.
I think the larger vendors are doing a great job in, you know, the whole PCI compliance and putting their new releases in and doing it the right way. The problem is certainly the smaller retailers who, A, aren't on maintenance, and B, may not even know who their vendor is. And as Greg mentioned, there are thousands of software vendors to those people. The major guys are doing a good job. The minor players aren't, and the small retailers really do have a challenge.
I think there needs to be a little more responsibility and accountability to the scanning vendors as stop one. So when a vendor's sitting there telling the retailer that their site is not vulnerable and they're putting a seal out on their website, and this happened to Paula's friend, the next day they're hacked into, there's got to be some kind of accountability. It's, quality assurance programs.
The web is still the Wild West. I think you pointed out in your article today in the Post that, the big guys are get advertised, get press. The small thefts don't, and a lot of that is happening. I don't know what the percentages are. Do you recall 98% of theft doesn't goes unreported on the web?
Yeah, that's about 98%.
Of course, that's a wonderfully soft figure, because if you think about it, how could you possibly know?
Right. it's probably semi-accurate, though.
So it's actually 98.2%, but who's counting?
That's right.